Do you believe in the absolute inerrancy of God's holy word? Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to radically change lives and empower us to live like Christ? At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement of people across our nation and across the world. And if you believe these are the kinds of pastors we need leading our churches in the future, we invite you to learn more about partnering with us through giving. Learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu today.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. My name's Tim Wildman, and it's Wednesday, June the 10th, 2026. And joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Howdy, howdy.
All right. Let's see. Jenna Ellis will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And then Steve Paisley-Jordahl is at work today. And he will join us an hour from now. So, summertime's here.
It's here.
It's here where we live.
In got in my car last night, late afternoon after work. It said 96 degrees.
In the car?
In the car. And I put up one of those little reflectors, and I thought, oh, man, summer is here.
Yeah.
The reflectors. You're talking about the things people put in their windshield?
The windshield.
Yeah, you know, and I finally, this is the first year I broke and got one, but I just don't know if it really makes that big of a difference. But I do, but I'm in.
Maybe you're right.
But I'm using
you're in.
It.
you're using it. So, see, did you think right there was, so you didn't ask Ed whether it works or not?
Mm-mm, I just see everyone else do. I see a lot of people doing it.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Let me ask you this. If somebody, if your friend jumped off a building.
Mm-hmm. See where we're going here.
And would you do that just because he did?
I would like to think that the consequences of jumping off a building and putting a sunscreen, shade up in the truck are two different things.
But that is a good reply for a wisecrack. That was a wisecrack.
Wisecracking against the man who has you in his wheel.
That's not a
good thing. Not necessarily a good thing.
No.
Oh, wait, I was just joking.
Okay.
If you guys want a solution to hot weather, go to Montana.
Yeah. Why is it snowing up there?
It snowed there last week.
Oh, wow.
No kidding.
In Montana. That was June still. I mean, that was the first week of June.
It snowed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll never hear me complain about hot weather because I don't want to be a hypocrite.
You do like weather hypocrite. You like hot water.
Yeah.
Well, hot water. You get in hot water a lot, but you like hot weather.
I like hot weather, man. All right. Summertime is here officially.
Yeah, 21st.
Not officially, but weather-wise, for most of the country, it's summertime. All right, what's your first news story you got for us there, Fred?
A story that we thought we weren't going to discuss for a while, but here we are discussing it again because there have been developments overnight. So yesterday, I'm not sure when we were on the air whether we had the report of the Yes, I think we did. The U.S. helicopter that was attacked by an Iranian drone. We got more details on that this morning. It was very interesting. This drone that hit the Apache helicopter, which is very well fortified, the drone penetrated the side of the helicopter but did not explode. And we're getting this by way of Trey Yangst, who is just the excellent correspondent for Fox out of Tel Aviv. He talked to President Trump, he said, this morning. This is so the extra details come from the president. This drone buries itself inside the helicopter without exploding. Pilots reporting it was getting very hot in the cockpit. So they basically decide to land in the water. And then this drone-controlled rescue vessel, U.S. Navy vessel, comes and picks them up and takes them to safety. So there's a lot to talk about there. These drone-controlled things now are defining military.
Yeah, the world has changed rapidly in the military. We've seen this in the Russia-Ukraine war.
Yes.
Drones are part of the wave of the future.
They are. Anyway, overnight, here's what's happened. Because of that Iranian attack on this U.S. Apache helicopter, President Trump gave the orders for several targets inside Iran to be hit. The Iranians responded. They aimed missiles at several of the countries on the western side of the Persian Gulf, Bahrain, I think it was, and a few others. Those missiles from Iran were intercepted. But that all prompted President Trump this morning on his Truth Social to say...
And the drama bills.
And the drama bills.
Because what is he going to say? Go, Fred.
Yes. Says Iran will pay the price for stalled talks.
Okay.
We all are waiting to see if that happens. Mm-hmm. Mark Montgomery is a retired Navy Rear Admiral. He says proportional strikes have run their course, talking about what's happened during the ceasefire. And he says resumption of all-out war may be next. Cut three.
At some point, this is going to probably escalate back up to full, to a full full scale, like 400 strike day in the near future, if this back and forth keeps going. At some point, you can't just keep doing proportionate strikes back and forth. If they continue to reach out and try to hit ships that are transiting through the Southern Scheme, which is what was going on last week, or they strike at our allied partners' bases, in the Middle East, Kuwait, Bahrain, ones that are much harder to defend because of their proximity than, say, Jordan, where we have a lot of warning. If that continues, at some point, the president's going to have to do real cost imposition on him and what's called a disproportionate or escalatory strike. But I think the president's trying hard not to do that.
All right.
Well, Iran can certainly continue to do these proportionate strikes because they're stringing they're stalling. You guys remember? You're not old enough, Wesley, to remember it. Tim, I know, does. Fred, I don't know if you ever paid attention to stall ball in basketball. You remember stall ball?
Yeah, four corners.
When there wasn't a shot clock. You're just going to stall the game until you win because you...
Or have a chance to win. Or, yeah, if you got a 10-point lead, you just go into stall mode.
You know, so I think that's what Iran's doing. They're happy to fire a couple missiles here and there and try to take down this or that. They're not on the clock. The president is under the political pressure of... You know, we got midterms coming up, and
I don't understand President Trump's comments. I'm getting tired of him. The reason I was sarcastic a while ago, he told us 2 days ago we're on the verge of a deal and complete and total victory within the next
2 weeks.
Okay, and then we have this happen, and you go, "Where's the evidence for what you're saying to be true?" I want to see it. I think everybody's we're tired of the.
We want to see a peace deal if there's a peace deal.
Yes. And he keeps saying it's imminent, right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
He has said that over the last 3 weeks. He's repeated that several times.
Okay. And then the evidence contrary to that is happening in real time now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, I don't know who to believe in this because President Trump... Is he just being snookered? He's not one to be snookered much. You know what I'm saying? He's pretty worldly and pretty wise. Worldly, by that I mean he's
a lot of experience.
He's been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
Okay, in life, but it just appears to me like he's being played,
mm-hmm.
and it's just getting embarrassing. I say embarrassing. That's how Southerners say it. Anyway, Wesley, what do you think is going on here?
I have no comment on President Trump, but I do have a comment on the story.
Go.
I'm thankful that the two pilots were not injured, and they were recovered.
Amen.
And tell us a little bit about how they recovered. This is interesting, Fred.
This is the drone vessel. Ukrainians actually have this drone vessel, but it's the first time it was used in this kind of operation. I guess there is somebody at CENTCOM, probably, that sits with control over satellites that control these unmanned vessels. And I saw a film or video of it this morning. These things move along at a pretty good clip. And they just have a kind of satellite receiver on the top. There's no human beings on board. And they somebody at CENTCOM says, this is the coordinates for this helicopter. Go get them.
And there must be some kind of camera, too,
yeah,
on the vessel so that the person who's controlling it,
yes,
can see from ground level, uh-huh, sea level or whatever,
yes,
you know, where they're going, and so you don't run anybody over.
Yeah. Okay, so let me make sure I understand what happened here. We had an Apache helicopter that I guess had left a ship somewhere out in the
one of the bases in the Persian Gulf.
For some reason, we don't know the purpose or the mission of the helicopter, right?
Probably just on a patrol.
Okay. So the Iranians fire a drone which doesn't penetrate.
It penetrates.
It penetrated, but did not explode.
I've never heard of that before. Is that captured on film?
Oh, we know? I'm not sure.
Okay, but
if it has, it's not released yet.
So a helicopter, you said these things are made out of titanium?
Parts of it, for sure, but they're tough.
Yeah, these are not flimsy helicopters. They're built for the battlefield.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine the jar, though, that hit those guys?
Well, they probably thought their life was over.
Yeah, and it didn't explode, but they're sitting there going, we have a undetonated drone that could explode at any moment.
Yeah.
And they decide to
ditch
or put the craft in the sea, and then they're out there at sea waiting on a
drone rescue vessel.
Let me ask you this then. Had the drone been successful and blown the Apache helicopter out of the sky, killing two American, would that make a difference, you think, on any level in terms of our response? Oh, we did respond.
Yeah.
So thank God, as you said, Wesley, none of our soldiers were, our Navy, sailors or whatever their role was there, were airmen, I should say, were hurt or killed, certainly. But
Army aviators.
So, but in response to that, the U.S. hit some targets in,
yes,
as we get ready to have a deal.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. Well.
No comment.
Well, President Trump also says he has a very good relationship with the Iranian leader. Why are you laughing?
Has he said that? He hasn't said that, has he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, actually,
he said he had a good relationship with the Iranian leader?
Well, here's part of the problem when we talk about this war, is that there are levels of authority within Tehran.
Right.
There's the Islamic theologians.
Right.
And then there is the military. And then there are some negotiators. Now, according to reports, there's conflict within those three groups as to how to move forward. It is believed that the military wing, they want to continue the battle. No surrender, no white flags, nothing. Whereas the more civilian negotiators are apparently saying, a lot of damage done to our economy. We're losing hundreds of millions of dollars every day because of the blockade. And we need to settle this down. So I think Trump is talking to one group, and he keeps saying a deal is close next couple of days, but then the military continues these strikes.
Yeah, because they're in control,
yes,
of the weaponry.
Yes.
So they can almost sabotage any,
yes,
deal that...
Yes, and that's kind of the sense that we're starting to get from this. Whereas for Israel, they are living real time with missile threats from Hezbollah, which is funded by Iran, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and of course Israel was fired upon by Iran last week. So you've got
And Israel fired back.
They did.
Yeah. So, And for that, President Trump said
nasty
that Israel
things
needs
about
to stop it.
Yeah. Nasty yeah. things about Netanyahu.
So, President Trump, I can't find the exact article, but he did. It was an interview. He did a television interview. He said he has a very good relationship with Iran. Uh-huh. You didn't see this?
No.
Yeah, but he also said that about North Korea's leader, too, and China. I mean.
You know what? I there's an explanation for that kind of, you know, same thing with Putin. Okay. And that is that President Trump, when he says he has a good relationship, that means he's communicating and they can talk about things and there's always the possibility of some sort of deal. I'm guessing that's what he means by that, rather than saying, hey, we're both on the same page. We're
on the same.
Yeah. I think he's saying we can talk. We can talk through this and get our differences.
If Biden said he had a very good relationship with Iran and we're in the middle of a war, sort of, a malware war, we would say that's nuts. Would we not?
Not based on what Ed's saying there. No.
Ed's talking about Trump.
Yeah, but you, okay, well, the alternative is you say you have a terrible relationship with him.
I mean, yeah, well, to me, I'm not sure it helps to publicly say anything about whether you got a good relationship or not. And that's typically what politicians don't do. They don't talk publicly about that. Donald Trump.
You're talking about Israel.
Right.
In which case, you need to slap them around a little bit.
Yeah. But in the case of Donald Trump, even though he is politically astute, he is a businessman. So he is going to apparently publicly say things. I don't think Biden would ever say that. I don't think, you know,
my point is that we need to try to be consistent with our analysis and criticism and complimentary.
Well, Trump has been consistent on this. He said this about other leaders in order to get them to sit down at the table.
Okay, you Trump apologist. Go ahead. Go ahead. No, I'm crazy.
Well, I'm with Wesley on this one. This is what Trump said. This is what he does.
Yeah, I think what frustrates you is that when he does that, but then turn around and he takes some of our Republicans and he calls them names and says that they're bad people.
My frustration with President Trump is I don't think he's telling the truth.
That's true.
That he's got a good relationship?
Yes.
Okay, that's different, yeah.
I'll just say this. A good relationship, if you define it as Ron shooting our Apache helicopter out of the sky,
right.
and we're good, I don't understand what he's talking about. And when he keeps saying we're within days or weeks of a total complete victory and a deal, and it seemingly is the same story every day.
That's right.
Now, maybe I'll have to come back and apologize a week from now when Iran surrenders. But until then, he just doesn't seem to be shooting straight with us as the American public. That's my opinion. You guys have a different one. You guys are buying it.
No,
you guys are buying the good relationship.
That's definitely not true. I've been on the last 2 weeks. I've said many times that we're being misled. This is
by who?
By the Trump administration, the America, the military, whatever. I mean, about us not it being over or in 2 weeks. It's not going to be over in 2 weeks.
Okay, guys, are you guys new to politics here? You remember George W. Bush on the aircraft carrier with mission accomplished? Politicians always put the best possible spin on. I remember LBJ saying we're just going to, and maybe even JFK and any other initials I can use,
right.
John F. Kennedy, we're just sending soldiers who are just going to, they're basically consultants for the South Vietnamese. We are not getting involved. And this is what politicians do until they're forced by the realities that are evident to everyone to come clean about. George W. Bush saying, we're going to make the Middle East safe for democracy. First, we're going in after weapons of mass destruction. And then when we found there were none or they'd been moved and we couldn't find them, no, we're going to make this a democratic regime. This is what politicians do. I was told
Trump was different. He's a straight shooter, and everything. Anyway, I understand what you're saying. You're right. Politicians of all stripes, Democrats, Republicans, presidents,
they spin all the time,
and Trump spins too.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Yeah,
and but you know, it just gets a little frustrating when you hear things. That and it across,
which is why I said I'm not commenting on it.
Yes, when we keep dragging you in. When the evidence doesn't seem to support what you're saying, and you keep telling us things that we don't see any.
I think President Trump has been trying to put a good spin on this because he wants gas prices down. There's been a lot of political pressure on him and his party.
And it's not going the way.
And it's not going the way. I don't think he should have been saying anything. We should have just bombed the slap out of the Iranians. We should have broken bridges and power plants and devastated things within the first 2 weeks of this. And when they said we're not surrendering, we keep blowing more stuff up.
Until they surrender.
Until they surrender.
Well, is that what Jesus would do?
That's what Wesley would have done.
Just wondering.
That's what I would have done. They should have never stopped.
All right, let's move on here. We
told ourselves we wouldn't do this. We told ourselves we were not going to talk about Iran again.
You know,
when I said, and you were out last week on the beach frolicking.
I was frolicking, baby.
While you were gone, I said Trump said that he had a very good relationship with the Iranian leader. The Iranians. I don't know if he said. So that's what I was referring to, and you were in disbelief.
Yeah, because I was frolicking.
That he said that, and I had to say that he did say that. He did say exactly that, and that's what I'm saying. That there's to say something like that when there's no evidence to support you makes me question anything he says on this issue.
Especially since you never know. You tell me all politicians lie,
and that's supposed to be the end of it.
You say you have a good relationship with the Iranians, and maybe tomorrow he sends a cruise missile into your kitchen while you're eating cornflakes.
I don't know.
Good news is I'm not on today's issues tomorrow.
Well, the good news is hopefully, well, no, I don't know. We all hope that this would be resolved one way or another by now, but... Well, President Trump and his team
got several things wrong. They didn't consider the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah,
that's one thing they didn't consider when they started this.
Yeah,
they also pulled up.
No regime change.
No nuclear.
Or they can't get all the uranium.
Yeah, so we got a lot of problems here. You like my criticism of President Trump?
Yeah, well, President Trump says they will have no nuclear weapon. He did draw that red line in the sand yesterday or the day before again, and I'm going, okay, well, we'll see how that turns out. Let's go ahead and take our short break here.
But, folks, we want you to know we are not talking about this war again until we have a solution.
We're going to have to form a pact.
We formed a pact.
Well, then the Iranians tried to shoot our helicopter out of the
That's true.
Out of the sky.
That was a great story. If I'm one of those two pilots, I'm thanking Jesus.
Yes,
amen.
But that drone didn't blow up.
Let me ask you this. What about the next two pilots who were scheduled to go out on patrol? We think they got went down in their back.
My back. I'm sorry, Captain Miller.
Captain, I'm gonna have to bail out on you right here. I don't mind if Leroy goes in my place.
These pilots are probably already captains.
It's not funny. I'm not laughing because the war is funny. I'm just saying that these two pilots got shot out of the sky and they were on patrol. And you wonder about they gonna keep sending patrols out?
Yeah.
We'll be back momentarily. Jen Ellis will be with us.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life but they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com/AFR.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we are announcing two tours coming up in 2027, March of 2027. We're going to Greece and we're going to Italy. The Greece tour we call the Footsteps of Paul, and you're going to follow the footsteps of St. Paul in the country of Greece. And then the Italian tour, the tour of Italy, Venice, Florence, Pisa, Rome, we're calling the Make Lasagna Great Again Tour. And these are coming up in March of 2027. And if you want to read all about them, the itinerary, the cost, everything you need to know about these tours coming up in March of Greece and Italy, go to tours.afa.net. That's tours.afa.net. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of good fellowship, and see some of the most historic and iconic sites in the world.
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Psalm 118, verse 8.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Fred Jackson. And we're moving on to our next story here, which is out of Texas. Pardon me. Bobbing two teenagers. One of them stabbed another one and killed him. And it's a national news story because it involves, it's a white on black, black on white. You know, the news media love that. Try to stir up racial animosity in our country. And we're going to talk about this story for just a few minutes with Jenna Ellis. Jenna, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Jenna is our host on the morning show, current events talk show called Jenna Ellis in the Morning. That was my idea to name it that, Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Oh, it was a brilliant move.
I thought about that a long time.
I think it was brilliant. Yeah. I'm very grateful for it.
Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Ed, for acknowledging my brilliancy.
Mm-hmm. You bet, boss.
On
Mr. President.
Somehow I think I'm being pandered to.
Never.
No. Okay, Jenna.
We're not pandering
to
you.
We only speak truth.
All right.
We're not pandering to you, but by the way, I love that shirt.
You love this shirt?
I think Ed writes for President Trump.
Right.
Greatest shirt I've ever seen.
Nobody's ever seen a shirt like it.
Never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
What are those, dolphins? What
is it? I think they are, and he's
got a deal on a new shirt.
Yeah. Did you get that shirt from Florida?
Florida? I don't know. I got it at a golf course I went to.
It was so
Mexico
easy.
Mexico paid for it.
Yeah.
So easy to get you off track.
Yeah.
There.
You guys, I see what you're doing here. All right. So let's reset here for just a moment. Fred, if you would give us the facts of this case here, and then Jenna, our lawyer, is going to talk about it here some.
All right. Yesterday, a jury in McKinney, Texas, only deliberated for a couple of hours after summations yesterday morning, and they convicted a young man by the name of Carmelo Anthony in the stabbing death, convicted him of murder, of stabbing another young man, Austin Medcalf. What had happened was that Carmelo Anthony, during a sporting event there in McKinney, Texas, went and sat down in a tent occupied by a team of young athletes. He was not a member of that team, but he went down and sat down. He was asked to leave. He did not. Instead, Carmelo Anthony had a knife, and he stabbed young Austin Metcalf in the chest. Austin Metcalf died almost instantly. During the past 3 or 4 days, they've had the trial. And Carmelo Anthony, who is black, Austin Metcalf, white, and it became a race-related story. Even though the prosecution, the dad of Austin Metcalf, said, don't make this a racial issue. It was an act of violence by a young person. But outside the courthouse there in McKinney, Texas, dozens of protesters, most of them for Carmelo Anthony, held signs saying they wanted justice for him. Another element of this story was a GoFundMe account, which was set up to help Carmelo Anthony's defense. There were reports that, and it was $600,000, I think, had been raised. And there was a report over the last couple of days that Carmelo Anthony's family have used some of that money to move into a very nice neighborhood. So there's a lot of elements to this story. But the bottom line, you have a young teenager, Austin Metcalf, who is dead, and you have Carmelo Anthony, who has been sentenced to 35 years in prison.
Okay. Jenna, we have murders all over the country every day, sadly, tragically. Why has this become a national news story?
Well, unfortunately, it's because the left has politicized it and made it about race, which is just yet another example of the cultural Marxism that is implicit in our nation. And it's not that there is systemic racism like they would suggest. It's that there is systemic Marxism, where they categorize people, human beings, based on our immutable characteristics, whether it's the patriarchy versus women, whether it is whites who oppress blacks, whether it's the rich who oppress the poor. There's always the oppressor versus the oppressed. And if you fall into that category, you are of an oppressor, then you have no other identity than an oppressor. And if you are in the oppressed category, you are perpetually the victim, regardless of whether or not you are in fact an aggressor of harm. And so what this story exemplifies is that cultural Marxism is still running rampant in our society, because the outcome of this case, if you don't look at race, you simply look at the overt act, which was the absolutely unjustified killing of a 17-year-old young man by a perpetrator, then obviously he deserves to be convicted of murder. I think he deserved life in prison or even the death penalty, but he got 35 years. That's justice. But what the left and across the country, but even some of these protesters outside the courthouse in Texas are suggesting, is that simply because Carmelo Anthony is in the category, the Marxist category of oppressor, simply because of the color of his skin, he is a victim regardless of his life choices to murder another young man, and that Austin Metcalf, because of his skin color being white, he is an oppressor and therefore can't be a victim. And so this story exemplifies again, yeah, why we need to reject these stratifications, and we need to go back to the dignity of every human being made in the image of God has inherent dignity and worth, regardless of skin color, gender, any age, any of the immutable characteristics or differences that God allows.
Yeah, that's a great explanation for why this became a national news story. And you're right. The political left on this country frame everything on race, on identity politics, right? Mm-hmm. And the things you've just mentioned. Westy, did you want to say something?
I was just going to add this. Identity politics. In the last 20 years, it's only been one direction, though. They'll usually leave out the color of the person's skin if it doesn't fit their narrative.
Right.
Right. And imagine if this had been a white young man who had stabbed to death a black young man, then of course they would be calling for the death penalty, and it would be, you know, ultimate justice is is the death penalty for the aggressor, and it just fits into their narrative of oppressor. And again, it's all about their Marxist narrative instead of simply looking at the facts and actual justice, which is that justice is blind to the identity of the person. It's all about their personal responsibility for their own life choices.
Yeah. Ed, your thoughts
well,
on this?
Well, I was, first of all, just going to toss out, remember the Irina Zarutska? She was the Ukrainian girl who was stabbed on a train. Stabbed to death. Yeah, and nobody on the left really wanted to talk about that in terms of race either. I do have, Jenna, just a quick question about the sentence of Carmelo Anthony. Is this something, I know it's 35 years, is this something where, since he didn't get death penalty, life in prison, where he can get parole?
Yes, and this is why I personally don't think that it was a harsh enough sentence, and maybe the jury was sort of trying to balance the racial politics, I mean, perhaps. And there were a lot of complaints on social media that the jury didn't contain minorities, which isn't true. It wasn't just a jury of white people. There were minorities on the jury. And so maybe they were cognizant of this and so struck kind of a middle ground. But yes, unfortunately, he may be eligible for parole, as early as when he's age 50.
It sounds like to me this young man who was convicted of murder, Carmelo Anthony, I don't know what happened to him that day. I don't know anything about his background, but if you're taking a knife, a knife with you to, by the way, this was a knife-free zone that he went into. And you got athletic competition, is this going on? And he's been asked to leave the tent. He went to the tent of one of the opposing teams. This is what I understand. And engaged them and wouldn't leave. And it appears to me he went there looking for trouble, you know. And then this Austin Metcalf, young man on the other side, confronted him or told him to leave. And that's when this jury found that Carmelo Anthony just stabbed him to death. He bled out before he could be taken to the hospital and have any chance.
And according to some of the reports, they didn't know each other. There wasn't prior history, but there, according to some reports, there was some prior history of aggression, at least within the context of Carmelo Anthony's family. And that doesn't surprise me. I mean, when you have someone who is so willing to perpetuate such hatred toward someone simply because of the color of their skin, you have to wonder. And Sholden Daniels, who is a Texan, he's a young black man as well, who's actually running for what is her name? The one lady who lost for Senate, Jasmine Crockett, who is now, she lost her primary, but he posted this on social media. I practice law in Collin County, Texas, where this took a place. Carmelo Anthony will be convicted, as he should be. He murdered that boy because he was raised to hate white people and to view himself as a victim in every situation. It's a culture thing.
Who said that?
This is Sholden Daniels. I've actually had him on my program before. I've met him in person. He's great. He's a great Christian, and he is running for Congress in Texas for Jasmine Crockett's former seat.
Well, listen, the political left in this country, and a lot of them, for the reasons you mentioned when we first started conversing here with Jenna, they want to stir up racial animosity in this country, and listen, we all know, I think the Bible teaches you take people, as Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. would say, by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. So we all have to be guarded against stereotyping too, because we're all prone to do that instead of taking people and seeing them as individuals. Now, Now we'll say this. there is
a reputation that people create for
themselves. There's a reason stereotypes develop. Mm-hmm. And there is we mentioned this before, Well, I won't get into that. It's not related to this story necessarily.
I was kind of hoping you would, because I was thinking.
Well, okay. I'll just say this. There is a real problem within the within the young black male population in this country that is
undeniable
and must be addressed by the black community. And I don't know how exactly, but when you have every day in the newspaper, every day on the television news, and the majority of the violent crime is being committed by a tiny percentage of the population, and you go, because between the ages of 14 and 30, black males commit half the violent crimes
out of 330
in this country,
people.
You're going, there's a reason for that, okay? Why is that? Is it because of their skin color? Well, that's ridiculous.
Right.
Okay.
Well, a lot of people
would... Let me finish, Jenna.
I thought you were. I'm sorry.
Because it's my show.
It is.
And you have your show, and you can finish on your show, okay?
Not if Steve Dace is on, but...
I'm just...
That's true.
Oh, that's Steve Dace. That's a true statement. I don't mean to say... I'm snapping at Jenna. If I lose this thought, it'll never come back to me during this hour. So you have to say, why is this... It's not because of their skin color, because we all know good and bad people exist at all skin colors and ethnicities, and we all know this to be true. So there must be another dynamic there that's causing this demographic to be such high at risk for violence and crime. It's because they don't have dads in the home. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking broadly and generally. We all know cases where single moms, black, white, Hispanic, whatever, raise wonderful kids and they turn out great. But if you keep going and increasing the numbers, you're going to see what the Bible says to be true. And that is children need leadership and mentorship, both male and female, in the home. And when you have 75-80% of the black children in this country born out of wedlock, and then the moms have multiple babies, then they don't get any guidance from the males, what's going to happen? They're going to join gangs. They're going to drop out of school. They're going to be angry, broadly and generally. So that's why you see that, and too, the mothers, the 6-17-year-old mothers who have two children, they're going to drop out of school. They're not going to get an education. They're going to continue to be in poverty. You see what I'm saying? So the white community, I think, is the numbers are at 45%, maybe something like that.
They're closing in.
Well, no, they're not closing in. They're like a 30-point margin.
Well, but it's growing. The problem that you're talking about is growing amongst the white population.
Well, here's the statistical agreement with what you're saying. The white population is about 60%, and if you're nearing the half, in the white community, because they're so much larger than the black community population-wise, if you have 43% start being born out of wedlock, then you're going to see the numbers. You're going to see the same things happen in the white community.
Yeah. I'm just saying this is a hard and fast rule that
but
God
in the
is...
black community, it's not shamed anymore.
Right.
And it's some in the white community, not broadly and generally. Again, it's just a way of life that in the black community today, they don't think anything of not getting married to have babies.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And until that changes, nothing is going to change. Wes, do you want to go first?
Just adding to what I agree with everything you said, but also the culture within the black community of the young men of these fights that you see them on video all the time.
Yeah, fighting among themselves. Out in the streets.
Drugs.
Right.
It's that, but it's also a growing cultural thing, too, that would have to be changed.
Yeah,
within.
And you see the The rap music reflects music. The lifestyle. And right. Anyway, it's a real problem that can't be solved by white people.
And it's not
being... you have to solve those problems within your own community. Go ahead.
And it's not being addressed by the political left or by
No, they're exploiting
well,
they, it.
They don't want to. Yeah, because this... And this is what, you know, and Tim talked over me as I was interrupting him with the same point. So I just like to put that out there because Commissioner Jack Brewer speaks about this prolifically, that this is because of fatherlessness.
It is.
But also the left has an incentive, especially within the black community, because even the problem as well is not only with illicit out-of-wedlock sex, but so you know, they're not forming families in that community, but also women are incentivized to have even more and more children because then they get more welfare.
Right.
And so the left wants to keep people on welfare and in poverty because then they continue to vote Democrat. So this is... I think fatherlessness is the key issue that needs to be addressed by the church, but it also needs to be addressed even more broadly because these kids just don't have parents who are discipling them at all.
Okay, this is from AI, so take it for what it's worth, okay, on an AI-generated answer. It says that from the year 2018 to 2020, 28% to 29% of babies born to white mothers were born out of wedlock. So I thought it was higher than that. Now, maybe these statistics are wrong, but I'm just saying that if you want to know, if you don't have a mother and a father raising the children, again, you can find exceptions. We all know that there are exceptions, but broadly and generally, if you extract out the numbers, you're going to have real problems. And we're seeing that show up in the young African-American male population with when they don't have any male leadership in their home.
The point I was making is that it's a hard and fast rule, for the way that God has created humanity, that the family is the basic biological mom and dad with the children. That is the building block of human society. And so it doesn't matter, like you said, it doesn't matter your skin color. Nothing else matters if you break that mold, all these pathologies we're talking about, crime, poverty, lack of education, all that stuff, it becomes a reality. Wherever you break that model, which is why Asians who come to this country, who are very family-centric, excel. It's got nothing to do with their skin color. It is because, whether they are Christian or not, they are playing by the rules of the way God has made people, human beings.
According to this same statistic, 70 to 73% of black babies in this country are born out of wedlock. So, and it's been about that rate for a while. So unless that changes, you're not going to see changes in the numbers in terms of the criminal activity that the young black males get in trouble for.
And I loved Jenna's point. I mean, I like your points, Tim, but I love Jenna's points that she made about the Democratic Party and the left. They have every incentive to keep this system in place and to not fix it, which is why they're opposed to school choice, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right.
Because they have a ready voting block and constituency of people who are dependent upon the Democratic Party for feeding their children.
Right. And you know what's interesting is if you look historically, the black and white community were the same up until the social welfare programs kicked in big time in the 1960s, the Great Society. Up until then, basically, I'm looking at the numbers, basically blacks and whites, and you really didn't have a lot of Hispanics like you do now in America, but blacks and whites were basically the same in terms of babies out of wedlock. And then that was incentivized by federal government through the big welfare programs in the name of basically making up for the wrongs that had been committed against the African-American community in our country, which were historical and real. But they just, you know, there were some people who warned, hey, maybe we shouldn't be giving... So, because what they started doing was they started saying, hey, if you got a dad, if you're a married couple, you don't get any help. But if you will go unmarried, we'll send you a check. Yep. Okay. That's what happened. Yep. And again, you extract that out over time, human nature being what it is, you'll see what, and when Bill Clinton, by the way, I think he did try to reform that. He was one of the ones. Remember, he got called a racist because Bill Clinton, a Democrat, because he tried to do some reforming there in that. But anyway, so it's a problem that unless it's addressed within the African American community itself, I'm sorry to say the numbers of young black males involved in criminal activity is not going to change, because human nature being what it is, and because the Bible is true, and it has nothing to do with ethnicity, skin color. It has to do with either you follow the biblical model,
right,
for marriage and family,
amen,
or you don't.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you pay the consequences.
Correct.
Both individually and society. Well, all right, Jenna, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Great to be with you.
I'm going
to
talk now, and you feel free to interrupt me. Go ahead. Okay.
You're giving me the last 10 seconds. Thanks so much.
Enjoy your 10 seconds, Jenna.
Thanks for interrupting me.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jenna. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.